The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and criminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Tuesday, June 14th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us. We have got so much in today's show, we better just get right to it. Unfortunately, the pirate Ganja John cannot be with us today. He's doing some medical stuff, but joining us in his chair is Coleco the intern.
Aloha.
How are you doing, Coleco?
Quite well.
Oh, the studio audience didn't notice you. Let's see if they notice you this time here.
Hey, guys.
Now they're much happier to see you now. Also joining us from our virtual studio in Grastoria, Oregon, is Cannabis Carrie.
Hi, Russ. Hi, Coleco.
There you go. They're all glad to see you too, Carrie. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Russ.
All right. Well, we've got all sorts of news to cover today. Breaking news that I'll bring to you right now. The Oregon Senate passed Senate Bill 5529, the budget bill that would raise medical marijuana fees from $100 to $200 or $400 if you want to designate a grower. So that's our first headline news. But after our first break, Carrie's going to bring us the rest of the headlines. And what do we got in the news today?
Well, today we've got a news that a story that a stasher brought to us in the second hour of the show yesterday about some Canadian travelers. Also, another child ingests a little marijuana, runs to the hospital, and that causes some panic in Colorado. We've got some celebrity news as well, and if we have time for it, maybe even a stupid stoner story.
Oh, goody. It's going to be a Tuesday with a stupid stoner. I love it. Thank you so much, Carrie. Also coming up on today's show, it's Electric Tuesday, so we can get some music from our editor, Cannabis Cure UK, and we're going to play D-double-E. That's the name of the artist, and the song is called Street Fighter Rhythm. And then at half past the hour, we're rejoined by Jennifer Alexander from the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act. She is the campaign manager, and she's going to be here to give us the update on that story that I broke for you on Senate Bill 5529 and its passage through the Senate. Still has to go to the House and the governor, but this does not bode well for the Oregon medical marijuana program. Also, at the end of the show, time for a little bit of radical rant. I'll get to tell you about the latest push to punish the poor and what we can do to fight back against this. So check that out at the end of the show. Of course, hour two, Toker Talk Radio, will be talking to you at our phone line at 971-533-7111. And taking your questions via chat as well, plus a few more songs and videos and stuff we just don't have time to get to in hour one. So stay tuned. It's Normal Show Live, Voice of the Marijuana Nation. We will be right back after these short messages from our sponsors. Make sure to support our sponsors. They help make this possible. And if you want to help make this possible, visit our blog at stash.normal.org. Check the donation links on the right.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's
today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals, with a list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Hey, this is John Papa. You're listening to The Normal Show Live.
There is a peaceful solution called a peace revolution. And now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. The next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with us, Carrie.
Four airlines heading West Coast Medical Marijuana Conference in Truro were allowed to bring their marijuana vaporizer on board the commercial flight earlier this month. The group that included Canadian activist Lisa Kirkman may likely be the first time in Canadian history that travelers were allowed to use medical marijuana during a commercial flight. Kirkman says that they used the vaporizer on a June 2nd flight and flight get any hassle from flight attendants or fellow passengers. She said they were allowed to use the vaporizer since there was no smoke produced. All four of the passengers who share the vaporizer are licensed from Health Canada to use medical marijuana and use their documentation to get through airport security checkpoints with a vaporizer and additional cannabis. Kirkman, who first contacted the air firm that she'd be able to use the device mid-flight, has recently undergone intestinal surgery and was in a great deal of discomfort. She would not have been able to endure the long flight or attend the event without the use of the vaporizer. She told reporters that there is no reason why a medical patient should be on flight. Another health issue could use an inhaler. She said she contacted WestJet Airlines after Air Canada was not as accommodating with her request. Representatives with Transportation Canada are looking into the issue, calling this the first incident of a vaporizer being used in flight that they were aware of, and they were consulting with experts on air travel regulations to find out if the practice would be acceptable on other flights for Canadian medical marijuana patients. At this time, the airlines do not have a policy in place concerning the use of vaporizers.
I have had it with these mother effing vapes on this mother effing plane. I've been waiting to say that the whole story. No, this is great news. I'm glad to hear that they were able to use their vaporizers there in Canada. But, you know, this is going to run into a lot of opposition in America. You know that, you know, just because we don't have a nationwide medical marijuana law like they've got in Canada, where it's, you know, federally recognized. So that would be problem number one. Problem number two would be the people that are cigarette smokers that would say, hey, well, if you guys can use your vaporizers, why can't we use our e-cigarettes? Which, you know, I would be fine with as well, as long as the exhale is just vapor here and we're not talking about anything that's going to, you know, upset the smell or the cabin pressure, anything weird like that. I mean, I don't see why not. And in fact, I think that vapes on a plane ought to not just be for medical marijuana patients. I think they ought to be in the little the thing up above there and just drop down. You know, in the case that you stress out, the vaporizer will drop from the ceiling, and even though the bag may not inflate, you're still getting THC. That's what we need to see on a plane. I think that would get you a whole lot more well-behaved travelers.
That's a fun way to start the show. Okay, for the second time this year, a toddler in Colorado was hospitalized due to ingesting marijuana accidentally belonged to the parents. Back in March, a 10-month-old child was taken to the hospital after the parents thought he was acting lethargic and just not right. The parents in that instance were charged with child abuse and had the hospitalized child and the child's twin sibling taken from the house when it was discovered the father was growing about 30 plants in a shed in their yard and that there was medicated trail mix in tubs in the home. Now an 11-month-old toddler was flown by helicopter life flight to the Longmont United Hospital in Colorado where the young girl was thought to be having a reaction to ingesting marijuana. The child's condition improved by the next day and she was allowed to go home. Now in this case, the mother was a 17-year-old teenager who lived at home with her parents. Police say that she took the baby to a house that was shared with a medical marijuana patient, and they think the toddler got sick either ingesting some of the marijuana plant or some usable marijuana. They say in this instance, they don't believe the child accidentally ate an edible. According to Longmont Detective Commander Jeff Satura, who was giving interviews to the media about the incident, he said that it was the second case this year involving a child who had ingested marijuana and had to be hospitalized. He told reporters, quote, "I don't believe we've received any calls about poisoning related to prescription drugs over the same time period," adding, "I think people take better care to keep their prescription drugs out of the hand of juveniles, and they have childproof caps, etc. In my opinion, the message should be the same for marijuana. If you're marijuana, you need precautions to make sure children don't have access just the same as you would with any prescription." Now, the DA's office is currently investigating the young mother in the current case, but so far, no charges have been filed. And although I read the detective's quote about there not being any prescription overdoses of he knows of in the same time period, in many accounts of the incident that's spread across the media today, no one pointed out that if a young child did overdose on prescription medication, the outcome may have been much, much worse.
The overdose on prescription medication will most likely kill the kid. It's not bad advice to be telling folks, you know, if it's medical marijuana, you need to be treating it like medicine. You need to be capping it, putting it away, getting a lock and key, you know, putting it where the kids can't get at it. Yeah, that's definitely something we need to consider. But it is, you know, jumping way beyond what is necessary here when we start talking about charging people with child abuse and taking away their kids for this situation. You know, he says there's no indications or no evidence of there being calls like this with respect to prescription drugs. But have there been any calls like this with respect to alcohol, with kids getting into some beer or some wine left in a glass after a party at some parent's house? Or how about kids sneaking some smokes, some of mom or dad's tobacco, you know, out of their suitcase? These kinds of happenings will do these things. We've got to do our best responsible and get these things out of their hands. But I highly doubt that if a kid was, you know, caught, you know, and he had drank, you know, two or three beers out of the cooler on a picnic or something and had a bad reaction and was taken to the hospital, I don't know that they'd be talking about child abuse charges and taking their children away in those situations. It's just word to everyone, be very careful with your medical marijuana and keep it out of reach of children.
Although left off of this year's best celeb stoner in a poll from our friend Steve Bloom, Justin Timberlake might be a shoo-in for next year's poll. The singer and now A-list actor was interviewed by Playboy this month and asked if he still smoked pot. Timberlake replied, "Absolutely." He went on to explain that marijuana is the only thing that gets him to stop thinking, saying that sometimes his brain needs to just be turned off so he can relax. Adding that some people are just better when high. Justin continues with the story of Punked on Ashton's show in the episode. He was so happy that smoking marijuana for months following the incident. In that episode, Ashton Kutcher's team pretended to be government agents that were there to seize all of his property, including his dog, due to unpaid income taxes. Justin almost cried during the prank and even called his mom to help calm him down, so all to the delight of his friend Kutcher. Going back now to the tape, he told the Playboy reporter that if you asked any of his friends and they answered honestly, they would tell him that the only way for him to get that dizzy, that as he was in that episode, was for him to be that stoned. He didn't end his conversation about marijuana there. He went on to say that smoking marijuana is not a big deal and said that any celebrity who admits to using cannabis knows that. He said that there are so many people that still suffer from reefer madness and the belief that cannabis is evil and will destroy the our lives. His truth is, it's a toxic plant and it hasn't killed anyone and is now being shown to have amazing medical properties. Timberlake, who is a talented singer and performer, spent a decade selling out large arenas for his concert. He's now stepped away from his musical career to focus on acting.
Wow, that is such great news. That coming to A-list, you know, having watched him host Saturday Live a few times, Yeah, he's a toker. About it. You know, with some of that stuff, we've token a few times. And then interesting because, you know, Justin Timberlake and I share the same birthday. Both born on January 31st, although I'm slightly older. But he says something that I've always said, that, you know, this is something I've told people a long time, is that marijuana is the only thing I can use that's the voices and all of the gears going on in my brain to slow down long enough for me to get some sleep or to concentrate on just one thing sometimes. So I really, that you know, I take that to heart because that's exactly the way I feel about cannabis too. And to hear Justin Timberlake saying it's the only thing that turns off his brain, I know exactly how he feels. So thank you so much, Justin, for coming out with that. I appreciate it more than you'll know.
Stupid Stoner Stories.
As a public service, Normal review that smoking marijuana will not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana. Don't be one of those stoners that make the rest of us look bad. Learn your lesson from today's
Okay, there's so much in this story. I'm just apologizing up front. A man in Illinois was seeing people do America every day on waiting in Donald's drive-thru line of cars for some fast food. While he was in that line, he decided to light up some marijuana, presumably to make the food taste better and kill some time. Unfortunately for the man, there was a police car directly in line behind him, also waiting for some fast food. The police officer said that he could smell the burning marijuana and that he saw the 21-year-old man blowing smoke out of his passenger side window. After the man got his food from the drive-thru window, the officer stuck the car in a Tupperware carrier with marijuana in it. The man was charged with possession and on a $100 bond pending a 20-second hearing. Was charged with marijuana, not charged with being accused.
Thank you, Carrie. Oh my God. The drive-through gun up. I worked at a through, and I remember a few people coming by that smelled like they'd recently toked. Coleco?
All the time, Friday and Saturday night.
It's like, I mean, that's what Jack in the Box and Taco Bell, that's what fourth meal's all about.
You ever heard of green tips? I mean, come on.
I've heard of green tips, all right. And not a surprising stupid stoner story. Thank you so much, Carrie. And for those of you who are just joining us earlier today, we covered the Oregon Senate vote on Senate Bill 5529. And what this bill was all about was to raise the fees on medical marijuana card holders from $100 to $200, basically doubling the fees. But on top of that, to also add a new fee, to add a $200 fee if you wanted to register a third-party grower. That is, if you're not growing your own, your card is now going to cost you $400. And even worse than that, the patients that are least able to deal with a change in fee increase, these are the patients that are on Oregon Health Plan, on SSI, or on food stamps. Well, they took away the SSI and the food stamps. So those folks on SSI or food stamps who had been paying $20 to pay for themselves and their third-party grower will now have to pay $400. They're going from $20 to $400, a 2,000% increase. That bill came up, and it was part of a larger budget bill that was voted on by the Oregon Senate today. It passed 19-11 today. It'll make its way to the House of Representatives and then on to the governor. And they're claiming it's an emergency shortfall. They've got to make up these budgets because there's just no money left in the budget. It's an emergency. We've got to make up this money. Meanwhile, there are 400,000 of us here in Oregon that are non-medical marijuana card holders who year after year are saying, hey, we'll pay a tax. Hey, we'll pay $100 a year if you want to make us get a card or something. Hey, you can tax our weed at, you know, 20, 50, something like that an ounce. We're cool with that. Millions and millions and millions of dollars just sitting on the table. But no, they're going to pick on the people with food stamps and the people with the Oregon Health Plan, the sick people, the starving people. Let's charge them $400. And in their revenue estimates, they are even estimating that the patient population will decline by at least half in what they, and still thinking they'll get more money just because of all the people that will still register. I don't believe that at all. I think the patients here have had enough. And coming up here at half past the hour, we'll be speaking with Jen Alexander. She is the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act 2012 campaign manager. manager, also a tireless activist who has some breaking behind-the-scenes news on just how dastardly and underhanded this sneaky little budget move was and may have actually violated some laws as far as open government in the state of Oregon. So we'll get to all of that coming up next on Normal Show Live. So stick around. We are the voice of the Marijuana Nation. Hey, I know what that means.
Something like a break or something like that.
I think we need to take a break, Coleco, and talk about your interning. So
sounds good.
We'll be back after this.
It's 20, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would say to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
The world's greatest cannabis competition is coming back to the Bay Area. Over 100 strains of medical marijuana will go head-to-head to see who's the dankest in California. Indicas, sativas, hybrids, concentrates, edibles, plus THC, CBD, and CBN testing. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, June 25th and 26th at the Concourse Exhibition Center in San Francisco. It's gonna be awesome. Get your tickets at Medcom.
This is Beale of Cypress Hill chilling on Normal Show Live. Legalize it.
Ganja bum cap.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420 friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electric music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and experimental. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Cannabis, 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 cannabis. Hey there, Stashers, this is Cannabis Cure UK, bringing you Normal Show Live's Electric Tuesday. Today I've got a little bit of grime for you. DEE is one of the best known MCs in the grime scene, due to the fact that he's regarded as a veteran in the scene, as well as having a distinctive flow and style. DEE used to be a member of the 187 crew with Jammer and Armour. The group were invited to join the Nasty crew. They accepted, apart from Jammer, who didn't join after NASTY. We're in contact with a record company and he was approached to work for the production. After being one of the earliest members of Nasty Crew, Double left the collective due to disagreements which thought to revolve around the fact that DEE used the prestigious Nasty Crew name to secure solo bookings. Double also left the crew with Footsie and Monkster, and these MCs also, along with DJ Tubby, established the grime collective, the Newham Generals. The Newham Generals are currently signed to the label Dirty Stank, a label established for former grime MC Dizzy Rascal, and their debut album, Generally Speaking, is due for imminent release. The Newham Generals have a regular slot on the pirate radio station Rinse FM. This is DEE and his track Street Fighter Rhythm. I can't get this one out of my head. Enjoy it, light up. This guy is a big weed consumer. Check out the lyrics. He likes the red eye. Peace out, guys. Cannabis, 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 cannabis.
Oh my gosh! It's DEE. Old type swerve on production. It's street fighting time.
Round one, fight!
If it's me, you're mad at. You get a scar and it's just like Saga. She fighting, that's what I'm bad at. My thing working
perfect.
I come through in the beat up on dark. Give mana, I'm just slapped like Yonder. Give me the mic and let me ride it with them, cause I speak the fire just like South Sam. I'm a Liverpool invader, climbing to the top just like Vega. You deem me, nobody can save ya. On the mic, I'm way too major. Cause I'm shocking MCs like Blanca. I've got money in the bank, I'm a banker. You ain't got money in your bank, you're a wanker. I'm quick with the hooks like Bull Rock. Get the raver jumping like a bullfrog. And I've been doing it for more than a while. In the game, I'm a soldier like Niall. So, could you big like Zangy? Don't think you could ever try Big Man Green. You don't wanna get into no Big Man beef. I'm here if you wanna live it cool. I'm that Dyson. Sucking up MCs like a Dyson. You can spit bars if you wanna come a Dyson. You can spit bars, give it your best try, son. Boss to the end like M. Bison. In a war, start waving goodbye, son. Liverpool levels are too high, son. No one ever live a life, son.
I'm perfect.
Like she fight a fall. With your critical mind, does she fight a fall? Man, I'm stepping out the cage of the wall. Straight to your jaw. Think it's a game like she fight a fall. With your critical mind, does she fight a fall? Man, I'm stepping out the cage of the wall. Shake to your jaw. When my TV hits the shelf, bet you any money, no one's gonna buy you. I'm a Liverpool black belt like Ryu. I'm the original like Bruce Lee. You're just an imitation like Phelan. I come up to crew all day long. One by one, when it stays on. Show me the money, yeah, pay me the wrong. Cause I want a big belly like Rufus. If I don't get that, I'm going on ruthless. Hurricane kick will leave a man toothless. Try what you want, your combos are useless. I'm a weak consumer. Get my eyeballs red like a Kuma. Everybody's waiting, it's gonna be sooner. EWP, it's not a rumor. Like she fight a fall. With your critical man, does she fight a fall? Man, I'm stepping at the gates of the wall. Straight to your jaw. Think it's a game like she fight a fall. With your critical man, does she fight a fall? Man, I'm stepping at the gates of the wall. Straight to your jaw. In the final fight, I'm the guy. Everyone wants to be my Cody. Cause you know you won't be able to get a perfect or get close. Let me give him a Liverpool dose. Just like chicken, your man get rose. As soon as I bust my silver. Old school G, just like who can hit them with the R, you can hit the Lucan. Match my level, let's see if you can beat this, let's see if you can. You be the judge, you be the jury. Look into my eyes, see the fury. You be pissed like a fury. Sick in the end, nobody can show me. Like she fight a fall with your critical man. Does she fight a fall? Man, I've been stepping at the gates of the wall. Straight to your jaw. Think it's a game like she fight a fall with your critical man. Does she fight a fall? Man, I've been stepping at the gates of the wall. Straight to your jaw.
Blocko.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Normal, unlike any other marijuana or drug reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition, we're pro-marijuana. Every week, we take some time to talk to the citizens of local Normal chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition in this segment we call Grassroots Activism.
All right, welcome back, folks. 29 after the hour, and we're joined again by Jennifer Alexander from the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act 2012, the initiative campaign to legalize marijuana in the state of Oregon. Welcome back, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Folks, here, if you were here earlier, and I think that's three. Is that up there good enough? All right. If you were here earlier, you caught us running some coverage of the Oregon Senate and their hearing and their voting on SB 5529, and you've heard me talk about this. This is the bill that it's a budget bill. And part of it is that it's going to raise the fees on Oregon Medical Marijuana Program cardholders from $100 to $200. But wait, there's more. Another $200 fee if you want to register a grower. And if you were a person on food stamps or Oregon Health Plan who used to get a $20 card, sorry, you got to pay $200 or $400. So that's the bill. Passed today, 1911, I think, was the final, because one changed their vote. So Jennifer's here to tell us about the behind the scenes on this, because in Oregon law, we have something called the Oregon, the ACMM, the Advisory Committee on Medical Marijuana. And this is part of the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act. It's a committee comprised of, how many are there?
I think there's typically 11. I'm not sure if that's
I think it's something like that, 11 on the committee, and most within the medical marijuana movement, people who are clinics, clinic owners, people that are medical marijuana patients, caregivers, et cetera. So this advisory committee has no power of statute. I mean, it can't, you know, pass laws or anything. But it's supposed to be consulted on anything that might have to do with the program in order that the patients' voices are heard. So that's the setup. That's where we're at. There's this committee called the ACMM. They're supposed to be consulted. Jennifer, tell us what happened.
Well, okay, so we were aware of different attacks on the OMMP throughout the legislative session and fought hard. We had multiple different hearings down in Salem, and we overcame them all. We mm-hmm. knocked everything out. We were just getting ready to celebrate a successful legislative session with no changes to the OMMP. And we suddenly got word from Oregon Live, actually, of all places, that a budget bill was passing to double the OMMP fees. And that article came out the day after the ACMM meeting.
Now, Oregon Live being the online arm of the Oregonian, the state's largest newspaper.
Bingo. And so the ACMM meeting was the day prior. And in that meeting, they had asked multiple times to Tawana Nichols, the program director, if there were any bills remaining in the legislature that impacted medical marijuana at all. And she responded that there was only one, which was SB 5530, which was intended to apply a $10 replacement card fee, okay. And that was it. And she kind of stuttered around a little bit on it, and basically that she couldn't speak to what might come out, you know, that things change and it goes rapidly. And, mm-hmm. and there was a little bit of stuttering around that issue. But but she affirmed that there was nothing else currently in the works. And the following day, we find out that this has been in the works for quite some time. And as soon as we found out that this was doubling, we were then on a rampage trying to find what bill it was doubling in, because it didn't list it
didn't
in the Oregon
where.
Live. So we spent about 24 to 48 hours searching down this bill, and we finally discovered it was SB 5529, which is the budget bill for OHA DHS, which is the Oregon Health Authority and the Department of Health and Services.
And let me put a pause on that right there and hold that thought, because 24 to 48 hours of volunteer activists out of their own volition, getting paid nothing, pouring through very dull reading. I don't know if you've ever read a list of bills and what they're... Dullsville, right? So a day, 2 days of you and how many others?
Oh, I have no idea how many people. I mean, this was one of those times where people came out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
I was impressed. I got multiple emails myself offline. We're all on a discussion list here in Oregon, you know, about drug policy forum, and quite a few people popped up off list to say, look what I found, or ask questions. I mean, it sounded like everybody got involved. I would say there was probably at least 50 people actively working on these issues, if not more.
Okay, so we find out about it on June 6th. This had gone out to other...
I think we found out about it on June 7th or 8th, because the 6th... No, it was the 8th, because it was the day that it went through the second reading that we had found out about it. But either way, on May 29th, the Oregon Rural Health Association, I believe it is, it's another committee that deals with healthcare issues, they received a newsletter that said pot smokers to fund EMT emergency medical transportation ambulances unit or something like that. And it spelled out as though it was a done deal, that the fees were going from 100 to 200. This was over a week prior, to us knowing. And when we had found this all out and we started digging further and we found the bill and then we found out how much worse it was than we thought because of the additional $200 for growers fees mm-hmm. and the lack of any low income aside from the 439 Social Security patients. I contacted the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program to start getting some statistics because I wanted to know exactly how many people were going to be impacted, what the revenues were coming mm-hmm. from, and all
because they're
of that.
Saying they're going to get $7 million a biennium.
Right. And so
$3.5 million a year.
And that's about what the program brings in a year right now. So basically okay. they were doubling the anticipated revenue per year.
So okay, the program brings in $3.5 million a year now?
Roughly, that's what I've understood.
And they're
it
saying
to be.
After they double the fees, it will bring in $3.5 million a year. So if you go 2x on one side of the equation, you have to go 0.5x on the other side, don't you?
Yes, which for the non-math people out there, that means they're intending on cutting the patient rolls in half.
Yeah, they're already budgeting that way.
But further, with that in mind, that also means that they don't anticipate getting anything from the growers' fees, because if they did, that number would be bigger. Or they're anticipating cutting it even further than half.
Well, let's see. In the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program, there's, 15,000 registered growers, grow sites, something like that? But there's 40,000 registered patients. Of those 15,000,
though... About 53,000 now, actually.
Okay. But of those 15,000 or so growers, a lot of them are just paper growers. They're not really growers. The Oregon law says when you're a patient, you have to designate a grow site. And so they're not really grow sites. We don't really know a good number on growers, do we?
No.
But if we did, we could say, 6,000 growers times $200, we could tell you how much it is, but there's a zero there where that figure should be, so they're not anticipating
any revenue there. And so that's really disturbing. But so Barry Cast is the interim director for the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program. Dr. Grant Higginson, who has long been with the OMMP, has recently retired, and Barry Cast has very recently taken over as, like I said, interim director. And he sent me a response to my questions basically saying, did they know about this? And if so, why didn't we? And this was before I knew about the May 29th newsletter. And so he responded and he basically said, he talked around the issue a little bit, but basically said that had they told the ACMM about this bill, that it would have been irresponsible and that they would have ruined the relationships with the policymakers in Salem.
The ones that are screwing them now.
Well, screwing us. I don't know that they're screwing them necessarily. So basically, I then got that newsletter from May 29th, and I've sent him a response, and I have not heard back yet. But I said, I'm not sure what the secret was if they were announcing it to their community, and we weren't even told when it directly impacts our community.
The Oregon Rural Health Authority, and that's, what is that? That's like health care for people out in the sticks, something?
I don't know exactly what all they do. I'm not real familiar with that organization. I know they're a lobbying body in mm-hmm. Oregon. The actual newsletter printed on Lobby Oregon letterhead.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know all the details about what they work in, but I understand it to be like the rural... They directly benefit from the EMT thing. So let me put it to you that way. The people that got the money heard before the people that were paying
that were paying the money. Okay, 9 days before. And we've got a copy of this newsletter yet? Or
Yeah. It's online. I actually, I linked it in one of my letters. I don't know if I linked it in my article, but it's out there for sure. And I can make it available to you later.
Oh, yeah. We will definitely be writing this up. And
one of the other things in that newsletter that was quite disturbing is at the very end of the portion that speaks about the medical marijuana fees paying for this EMT, the one senator was quite thrilled and said, I'm going to have to get me one of those cards. They just don't understand the sincerity of most patients. They think it's all a game that, mm-hmm. It just... free money for the taking.
Well, at the beginning of the session, whoever it was that was reading at the beginning of the session who tried to make the joint session joke very poorly. Did you catch that?
I did not. I had some issues with the stream.
He was opening up. I've got the recording of it. I can't play it for you right now because we're recording the show right now, but I'll definitely make it a sound clip and have it on rotation on the normal network. But yeah, he's not even telling the joke well.
He said, "Oh, we're about to hear Senate Bill 5529, and considering what's being considered here in this bill, you know, it came from the Joint Subcommittee and Joint Committee, and I don't want anyone to get the feeling that, you know, just because what's in this bill that, you know, because it's a joint committee, you see." And
It was literally that bad. I will play it for you as soon as I get it clipped out, but it was just, it was an insult. You know, it offended me not just as a medical marijuana caregiver and husband of a patient. It offended me as a fan of comedy. It was just terrible. It was just awful in every way you could describe it. I will get that for you. So
there's one more point that I was going to make, is that I had not listened live to the Joint Ways and Means Committee discussing this bill, but after a question from a fellow advocate, I went and listened to it, and everybody that discussed this budget bill expressed a conflict of interest before posing the bill. And the main one, Freeman, Representative Freeman, Tim Freeman from, I believe he's down south. I want to say Ashland, but it might not be. It's down south though. Josephine County, Douglas County, that area. He actually expressed to me months ago how reefer mad he was. he thinks that medical marijuana is all a scam, that it should just go away. He does not believe that even cancer patients, or, you know, some of the more conservative among us, at least, look at cancer patients and say, well, they should have it, but not the rest of you.
Right, right.
He doesn't even believe even they that. Should have it.
Right.
He expressed that this was his bill that he was carrying forward, a budget bill, a healthcare budget bill. And then he said that his wife works for a clinic and that him and his wife both own some business that is a conflict of interest. And then he proceeded to talk about how they were taking all the money from the medical marijuana and putting it towards these programs. And then I think it's Senator Bates, got up there and basically said, "I too have a conflict of interest." And I think he said that he had so many that he couldn't even count them. And then he started in support of the bill. And I was just appalled. I was like, well, wait, what are these conflicts? I want to know more, you know? And I'm still unclear on exactly how.
Well, there was even one senator, when the vote concluded, they do the explanation of vote section, and one senator who said, "I want to explain that I, you know, do have a conflict of interest in that my wife is a healthcare provider, and many of her patients are on the Oregon Health Plan."
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for telling us. I mean, it's nice that they say they've got this conflict of interest.
I think they're required by law to say it, and then that makes it okay.
Yeah. Does it?
But I don't think that it's supposed to make it okay. I think you're supposed to make it aware so that it can be accounted for in the votes. But we don't handle it that way.
This is just stunning.
At this point, the bill did pass, and it's going to go to the House floor, and I'm not sure what its fate will be there, but I'm definitely going to be sending letters myself to all of our representatives to address these issues and reconsider that aspect of the budget bill at the very least, or start over. I mean, I don't know what their options are right now, but I don't think that taking from the sickest among Oregon to fund any programs is relevant. I did suggest in my letter to all the senators that if they wanted revenue from marijuana, here's the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act all ready to go for you.
Plenty of money over here.
And that's not $7 million. That's $140+ million. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's minimum of $140 million.
As Tony Z on Cannabis States of America says, it's stepping over dollars to pick up dimes.
It really is. It really is. I mean, $7 million sounds immense to me as an individual, but for a budget item, that's nothing. I mean, they could have pulled that out of anywhere. You could have added like a penny to stamps and made that up. I mean, anywhere you could have gotten it.
Sales tax. Sales tax.
For them to target the medical marijuana program to make up the $7 million is just heartbreaking. It really is.
Well, here's something that is even stunning to me, because, you know, I always like to take what they say at face value and rephrase it back to them to see if they really meant what they just said. For example, when the guy, I heard some guy the other day saying, you know, with medical marijuana that, well, we can't support it because the chances of abuse would be too great. So are you really telling me you're looking a cancer patient in the face and you would say, geez, I'd love to help you, but somebody might end up smoking a joint? Right? Because that's where their stand is. So this budget thing, where they come out and they project a budget that ends up being the same amount of money, but half the amount of people, implicitly says, we believe half of those people are faking it, or we believe half those people don't deserve it. Okay, let's take that at face value, that you think half the patients don't deserve it. Maybe even take the thing that you're right. Okay, so of those half, which ones are still going to be able to fake it and make it and afford it and which ones aren't. So in trying to get rid of half that you think are fakers, the ones who you think are fakers who can afford it will still be able to get on the program.
Yes.
The poor people who aren't faking it will be dropped.
And those are usually the people that can't afford the other medical care, you know, like to go to the doctor. I myself am one of those people, as
Absolutely.
Well as quite a few people I know. But I was going to say that...
Tell you what, let's hold that. Let's take a break here, and we'll come back. We'll do the last 15. I got the rant scheduled, but we'll just rant together on this.
Well.
I want to talk about Okta as well. We're here with Jennifer Alexander from Okta, and this is Normal Show Live. We'll be right back after this.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gone. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again.
And now, another episode of Cannabis Shakespearean Theatre. I'm your host, Leonard Pinthgarnell III. Tonight we take a look at one of the finest works in the cannabis cinema, 1996's Half-Baked, starring David Chappelle, as interpreted by the Royal Shakespearean Cannabis Theatre Company. In this scene, Chappelle's character, Thurgood Marshall, has just admitted his addiction to cannabis to a room full of narcotics addicts. One addict, played in the film by Robert Saget, and interpreted here by the Royal Company's Sir Frederick Farrakh, takes umbrage at the suggestion.
I find preposterous the notion that you, sir, may be addicted to cannabis. In times previous, I have undertaken lubricious endeavors, most revolting and unbecoming of a proper gentleman, in my servitude to the wicked powder of the coca leaf. Lo, that is an addiction whose chains would bind Hercules. At any point in history, could one identify a moment in your life so sullied by your ignominy as a cannabis slave? Methinks not. Boo this man!
For Cannabis Shakespearean Theatre, I'm Leonard Pinthgarnell III.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch-long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or is someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health, as well as legal issues. Normal even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area. Normal, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. Normal is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at normal.org. That's NORML.org. Or toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hula!
Radical rant.
Oh, welcome back, folks. A special kind of a dueling rant scenario going on right here. We got Jennifer Alexander here from the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act, and we are both talking about this horrific Senate Bill 5529 just passed, would raise medical marijuana card fees from anywhere from $20 or $100 to $200 or $400, depending on your situation. So, Jennifer, I cut you off before. You were just getting into rant mode. I want to give you a chance to rev it back up.
There we go. Yeah, no, my biggest rant is that as I'm looking at the way that the legislature has been handling the medical marijuana program this whole time, they continue to look at the program as though it's a recreational use program. They think it's all optional, that it's this luxury that we should be paying excessive that perspective. However, when voters voted for medical marijuana, they voted not to arrest the sick.
Right.
This was not meant to be a difficult program to accommodate. It was meant to be a simple program. The $100 is just supposed to cover the administrative costs of them recording these cards, processing these transactions, doing the background checks, providing this database to the administration of the program.
Right.
It was never meant to be a fee a revenue generating program. It was never meant to have extra money. Yet, in the 13 years that we've had this program, there's been over $1 million taken out of our program, literally robbed out of our program for the general fund for these other unrelated programs. And we haven't complained. We've actually said, see, we are helping this state.
Yeah.
We were happy to see it go, even though they were taking it from our program. They weren't providing us with additional services. They weren't speeding up the process, hiring a difference. Nothing.
No, it still takes you, 16 weeks to get a card?
4 to 5 months,
we don't typically. We even put together a because one of the things, new patients come onto the program are like, well, what do I do? Well, you're legal now. Yeah, where do I get my... we can't tell you anything. They won't produce any, brochures or pamphlets or information for patients to explain, how they become a part of this law, how they work in this program.
Wait, can I throw something in there?
Yeah.
There's an inherent need to start with the black market, because you can't get a seed or a clone just at Walgreens.
Yeah.
I mean, you're either getting it from another patient, presuming that you know somebody, or you have to go somewhere illegal to start your crop. I mean, that's built into the law. It's required. So they don't even help you get started in a legal fashion.
Yeah. No information, no pamphlets, no advice, no resolution boards for complaints. There's no statistic other than the bare minimum statistics that the law requires. No stats that are really helpful for us. No study of whether or not medical marijuana is helping these people, how it's helping them, how they're using it, etc.
How it's reduced their cost.
And that, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that brings me to another just flaw, tragic flaw in their thinking here. Even if they are thinking they're going to raise revenue by taxing the sick here, they don't understand that so many of these patients, my wife runs a clinic, I know a ton of patients, I hear this story every week. Man, ever since I got on medical marijuana, I've been able to cut down my meds by like a half to a third, of all the pills that they're required to take. Still got to take some pills, but, a half to a third of what I used to take. Well, those guys on Oregon Health Plan who are on the $20 card, who now you want to charge them $400 if they want to have a grower, they're just going to drop out and use the black market. Or they're going to have to go back and start using many more of those pharmaceutical pills. And who buys those pharmaceutical pills? The Oregon Health Plan! So, how did we save any money here? The money that you saved, or that you think you're gonna raise, you're gonna spend on pharmaceuticals for these Oregon Health Plan people, or you're gonna spend it on arresting and locking them up when you catch them on the black market.
Which goes into my next rant. They haven't figured out how they're paying for the people we have currently incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
They have not figured out this aspect of the budget. They have no clue. It's the missing link right now for them. And, by doing this, they've created, I would guesstimate, approximately 25,000 new criminals that were protected and suddenly won't be because they can't afford the fee.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have a plan. For one, I don't think you should be locking up the sick people. But presuming that that's what happens because now they're felons, we can't even afford the people that are already in there. Now we want to put 25,000 more people in there and their children into foster care and God knows
foster
what
care
else.
Costs. Yep.
I mean, this is very short-sighted. If they think they're going to raise $7 million by doing this, no, you're going to lose money because everybody's going to drop off the program. And all of these additional costs are going up all around you like wildfire. It's going to be probably
I'm willing to drop out of the program just out of spite
at this point,
because really, I'm not growing marijuana. I rarely have more than an ounce around. I have a lot of friends who come by, but, I rarely have more than an ounce around. It's only a ticket for, less than an ounce outside of the house. So screw it. You don't get my $100 anymore or $200.
Well, and now that goes on to my next rant again. the thing, I come from Indiana. There's no decrim. There's no medical marijuana law. Everybody's a criminal. Everybody's equally a criminal
sitting there smoking.
when we moved out here, we kind of thought that medical marijuana was this fantasy myth. Yeah, sure, whatever. No, you don't. You don't let that, And once we got out here and we started to meet people and started to find out more about the medical marijuana movement at large, not only did we find out that it's very much here, that these people are really, benefiting from their use of medical marijuana in degrees that I can't even understand. And I use it myself and I benefit, but not like these people. I mean, I'm seeing some people with miraculous recoveries.
Mm-hmm.
And, to, to then be where we're at right now, I've found so much complacency, so much comfort with where we're at, acceptance. And this goes back to, you've talked before about the OMMA for all kind of idea, the hunting license idea.
Yeah.
That I have a problem with that. And the reason I have a problem with that isn't because I don't think that it's a possibility for working, but because of exactly what's going on right here now.
Yeah.
I'm not okay
Once
with
you give
in
to the extortion.
I've been poor too long. Yeah. I'm not okay with being economically blocked.
Right.
But I really think that we need to quit being complacent with this. We need to, you know, step up and start changing these laws, take back control, not accept what they're giving us. Too many people in our movement are like, well, it's the best we can hope for, so this is all we'll fight for. No, fight for the full bucket. Take what you get in the end and be happy that you've, you know, accomplished and keep fighting, but fight for the whole thing. You can't fight for what you think you might get, because then when compromise happens, you're not even going to get that much.
Yeah.
We need to fight for legalization. We need to fight for these laws to change. We need to have the right to smoke a joint without paying anybody a fee, to be protected by a law. This whole thing is getting out of control. They're now looking to tax us to raise their revenue. But only if a few of us are doing it.
Only for a few of you. We'll only tax a few of you, and only if you jump through a lot of hoops.
Right. And there is no rhyme or reason to who they want to be on the program. I mean, I read a response from somebody last night that there was only going to be 1,500 people ever on the program. These are lies. That was never the case. They knew how many people were going to be on the program originally. It was supposed to be like 500 to 1,000 in the first year.
Right.
Not forever.
Hey,
we expect these things to grow. We took some of the largest categories of health concerns and made them qualifying conditions. Thousands and thousands of people potentially qualify. We have a very small amount of those people.
There are 17,000 new cancer diagnoses in Oregon every year. If just cancer patients registered, there'd be 17,000 patients.
Per year. So 2 years, 34,000.
Exactly.
I mean, we would already be up there. That's just one of the many qualifying conditions. So.
Well, this leads us to the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act, and I have got the endorsement right here. Oregon Cannabis Tax Act Initiative Statement of Endorsement. We would like to offer our endorsement of the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act. The OCTA is a citizens' initiative campaign to regulate cannabis and restore hemp. Just as ending alcohol prohibition and regulating that market has protected society, regulating cannabis will help wipe out crime. Drug cartels and gangs will lose significant funding when we regulate cannabis and take the criminal element out of this market. Restoring hemp for fuel, fiber, and food will put Oregon on the cutting edge of exciting new sustainable green industries and create untold multitudes of new jobs. It is estimated OCTA will amount to $200 million a year more funding for our state government. 90% of the proceeds will go into the state general fund, 7% for drug treatment programs, 1% each for drug education in public schools, and two new state commissions to promote hemp biofuel and hemp fiber and food. And we are signing this endorsement right now. And I encourage all of you to go to cannabistaxact.org, OCTA 2012. Yeah, get out there. OCTA2012.org or cannabistaxact.org. Sign it right here.
And sign up to volunteer. We need people to help us get signatures. We're trying to break a record. We want to get this qualified for the ballot by August or September of this year. That takes 90,000 signatures verified. We need about 130,000 to get that. We have about 10,000. We need you guys all to step up. If you're not in Oregon, consider making a donation or at least share the word with your friends. Tell them to get involved.
Yeah, and for all the patients out there listening, you know, that are upset about this fee getting raised and all of this, well, this is going to continue to happen so long as they have a directive to try to separate patients from criminals. As long as they've got that directive, as long as there's this need to figure out who's who, well, then there's a need to register the ones that we don't bust. And as long as there's a need to register the ones we don't bust, there's a revenue source they're going to continue to mess with. If you really want your rights, it's important that you legalize it for everyone, whether or not they have a serious medical condition or just a serious set of concerts to go to on the weekend. It doesn't matter. We've got to legalize marijuana for everyone. It's got to be a right. Our founding fathers made the Ninth Amendment, which says that just because we didn't put a right in the Constitution doesn't mean the people don't have that right. And we need to get back to those rights here in America, and we are doing it here with OCTA 2012. Check it out at cannabistaxact.org. I'll let you have the last 60 seconds.
If you're a patient in Oregon, consider writing to your House of Representatives representative and letting them know how this bill is going to affect you. Again, it's SB 5529, and you can get their information online at the legislature.
I'm sure we'll have have a House bill number coming up on it, too?
I think they just vote on the Senate bill number.
All right. All right, folks. Hey, we got to go here for podcast time. For those of you listening live, stay tuned for hour two. We'll stick around with Jennifer and Damon and talk a little bit more about this and rant, play some music, and have a good time. For Cannabis Carrie and Coleco the intern, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.